This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, Sharmila Ganesan, and Kelly Anisa, as well as Lim Suen. Before the break, we were talking about a planned exhibition on Doraemon by the National Gallery of Malaysia that has been attracting quite a bit of criticism. So now, in relation to our second story, we have a Twitter poll on.
So we asked you on Twitter, you know, what are your thoughts on TV shows and film spoilers? So 59% of you have said that you avoid them at all costs, followed by 31% of you who said that it doesn't matter. And 6% of you said, I like spoilers, followed by 4% of you who voted that I give other people spoilers.
Killjoys.
Right. So, I mean, let us know what you think. Join the conversation and tweet us at BFM Radio. You could WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. So we're asking you this today because, you know, we're wondering if the paranoia surrounding spoilers are ruining pop culture for us, and how we experience films. So that was something that was discussed in an article on Vox earlier this week. So let's take a quick recap. As most of you probably heard, a 5-minute clip of Avengers Endgame was leaked online recently.
Disastrous, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes. Especially when you think about all the measures they took to avoid that.
I have tickets tonight, so please, nobody spoil it for me.
Definitely, I did not watch the clip. I mean, so the leak was apparently recorded during a screening, then cut together and posted online. So according to some sites, it actually includes quite a handful of pivotal seeming scenes from Endgame. So the directors, Anthony and Joe Russo, have gone to extreme lengths to keep the movie secrets under wraps.
Yeah, and for example, actors like Brie Larson, who plays Captain Marvel, had no idea what she was supposed to be filming during the shoot itself. She would only receive certain pages from the script for that day's shoot, and only her parts would be visible. The other parts are basically redacted from the script. And in fact, Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, one of the central characters of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, has next to no idea what his character arc in the film actually is as well.
That's like government-level secrets, man.
Right? Yes. That is exactly what a lot of people have been saying. I mean, I can't imagine being an actor and just not knowing what I'm doing.
Yeah, like redacted pages? Sounds really intense.
Exactly. It's the level of secrecy surrounding the film, you know, is quite insane, I would say. All of this was done to prevent spoilers and leaks, but, you know, unfortunately, it happened anyway. So, I'm just curious, you know, what other measures will they take after this?
So usually in production, you know, actors usually have mostly a complete script to work with. And according to the author of the Vox article, this script gives them the context to know what they're saying, what they're doing. It helps them to ground their characters in their own, sort of emotional reality, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So when they're given only a partial piece of the script to work with, you know, people like Brie Larson, the writer pointed out that it might actually impact their on-screen performance.
And the writer also used J.K. Rowling as an example, who wrote the entire Harry Potter series, as most of us know. She famously told Alan Rickman important things about his character Severus Snape, and these are the details that didn't come up in the books until the two final volumes, which were still unpublished at that time. And she knew that he needed to understand those details as an actor in order to play his character and to give it depth on screen. So if you watch the Harry Potter films, you can see the result of this in the acting.
Yeah, and so, you know, the main takeaway that the author of the article was trying to make is this, that using Marvel as an example here, while the steps, you know, that they have taken so far with their films allowed them to somewhat clamp down on other spoilers, they have also created the danger of each film being pleasant but generic.
Right.
So we spoke to Lee Chui Lin, co-host of Skip Intro, earlier today about whether these extreme measures are necessary when it comes to the viewer's experience and their satisfaction. Here is a clip from the interview. Do you think that the element of surprise impacts the viewer experience when it comes to films or TV series?
I think it definitely does, but it bothers some people more than others, right? Like for some people, it's super integral to go into a movie completely pure and experience everything all at once. And for others, I guess, like me, I'm more interested in story and also in just kind of seeing how things are done. I really enjoy seeing how things unfold. I enjoy being able to appreciate performances. And I'm not saying you can't do that, even if you don't know anything. But I don't mind knowing the story. So an example, I guess, is something like Get Out, right, where there is a very central twist in the movie. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay, so then I will not spoil it. But there is a very central twist in the movie, and it was one that I had become aware of over time because I watched it late.
Right.
And in that instance, that's one movie that I can recall where I really, really regret finding out the spoiler, because it meant that I didn't get the, you know, that moment in The Sixth Sense, for example, where everything turns and you have to rewatch the entire movie with new eyes. I didn't get that experience. So it, I guess what I'm saying is, for me, it depends on movie to movie, show to show.
Okay. So in Avengers, what I read about was that some of the actors, like Brie Larson, were not given their script. I think they were given their script on the day itself. A lot of the parts redacted. And I think Chris Hemsworth doesn't even know his character's arc. So, you know, do you think that the obsession or focus on spoilers actually impact the quality, you know, of the movies being made, you know, in terms of how these actors are able to perform, that they do not have this the context that they need to really act out their character as well?
It depends, because in the case of the Avengers, right, you don't really need to know your character's arc to know your character. You guys have been doing these films for like 10 years now. You know, at this point, I don't know how many times Robert Downey Jr. has played Tony Stark and or Iron Man. You know, Chris Hemsworth has been Thor for at least 5 movies now. So in such a moment, I don't think you necessarily need to know what's going to happen in order to fully embody and deliver your lines the way you would as a professional and as your character, because you know your character so well. And in other moments where scripts have been redacted, I think what directors tend to do is to at least give the actor a mood or a direction or something. And I think if films are generally in service of the director's vision, so if the director feels the need to do it that way, then at least in the movies that I've seen, I don't think it's been, I don't see it and go, oh, this would have been so much better if everybody just had the script.
So the example that they used was actually Harry Potter, where Alan Rickman was, he was told by J.K. Rowling, you know, what his character did way before the books even released, the context of his, you know, his past. Mm. The article that we read was, they spoke about how that actually impacted his acting. Like, he knew how to behave so that when the reveal came, everything made sense. Sort of.
Yeah, I get that. It really depends, right? And in that, also then it depends whether we're talking about spoilers for actors or are we talking about spoilers for the audience. And those are, I feel, two separate things. So when it comes to the impact of, I think you can still get what you want out of an actor without having to necessarily reveal everything. And in the case of Potter, that's quite brave. It's the same for Game of Thrones. I think with some stories like Potter, Game of Thrones, Avengers, they're just highly spoilable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all it takes is one actor leaving a script behind, you know, one page of a script while eating lunch. And that would be that. So I understand the secrecy, especially when studios have invested so much money into these things. They're long-running series, and you just want the fans, the ones who want to have a pure experience, you want them to be able to have that experience. So I understand sacrificing a little bit on some counts in order to try your best to give people that.
And, you know, how has the digital world changed the way fans experience pop culture, you think, like when it comes to film and TV series like Game of Thrones?
For starters, reviews come out a lot faster because people live tweet stuff. That's another thing. So the reaction is, I think, much more immediate. So you can engage with a lot. Like, I like reading synopses. I like reading episode reviews. I like reading. There are some great TV reviewers who just do it so well that everything that they write actually enriches my experience of watching the show. So in that sense, I completely appreciate it. But I also think that everybody's had that experience of the day after Game of Thrones, scrolling through Facebook hyper fast if you haven't seen stuff. So I think it's changed mostly, I believe, for the better. It's allowed people to find their community of fans. It's allowed people to engage with one another. But as a viewer of stuff, as a fan of stuff, I think you really have to pick and choose how you engage with it, because if you are spoiler sensitive, then the internet is not a safe place.
Right. That was Lee Chui Lin, co-host of Skip Intro. So time frames are also a very big part of why spoilers weren't policed as heavily until the internet age. So, you know, this period in the late 90s and early 2000s was also when the term spoilers actually entered the mainstream.
Right.
And, you know, after previously existing mostly in fan circles.
Yeah, I mean, certainly actors from older franchises such as Star Wars, you know, they were allowed to speak quite freely about the works that they were in, you know. People like Mark Hamill has pointed out how radically things have changed from when he was in Star Wars, the first three Star Wars, not the current one. Mark Hamill actually told Entertainment Weekly that when he first started out as Luke Skywalker, he was able to actually show the script to his friends. You know, now scripts are printed on red paper to make photocopying impossible. It has to be read under supervision. And like we said earlier, stuff is redacted.
Yeah.
A lot of secrecy surrounding all this.
Yes.
So all these measures are taken to prevent spoilers from leaking. But it's also interesting because research has actually found that apparently spoilers don't ruin the story. Instead, they make you enjoy it even more.
Research on who?
It's quite curious, isn't it?
Yeah, but killing the surprise seems like it should make a narrative less enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Yet research has found that having the extra information about artworks, for example, can make them more satisfying, as can the predictability of an experience.
I suppose I get that a little bit, right? Mm. I mean, I'm not sure whether I necessarily want it spoiled like a twist ending.
Yeah.
But especially for like kind of having a sense of something, you feel like, you feel a bit smarter, and then you feel like you're watching out for it to happen, and there's some enjoyment in that.
I mean, that's true. I mean, I used to like spoilers, but I mean, we'll get more into that after this. So, you know, before the show, we actually went around the office. Our intern went around the office asking some of our colleagues, you know, what their thoughts were on spoilers, and you know, what was the worst spoiler ever revealed to them? Here are some of the things they had to say.
The worst spoiler that I had was for a book series I was reading, and I accidentally spoiled myself and found out that the main character died, and I quit the book a third of the way through and have never picked up anything by that author since.
I don't like spoilers. Because I like to enjoy something, especially if it's something that I love. For example, I actually haven't watched the latest Star Wars trailer because I just love Star Wars to bits. And I consider that as a spoiler, although I know a lot of people feel like that's not a spoiler. Lah. The biggest spoiler that I felt like, oh, knowing was, it's a part of Game of Thrones, and I'm just going to say it's the Red Wedding. Lah. That's all. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to spoil it for everyone else.
I completely hate spoilers. I think people who share spoilers, they just display a complete disregard for somebody's art, you know? It's a lack of respect, I think. A spoiler that really got to me, I suppose, was the plot twist for Fight Club. I knew that prior to watching the movie, and I was really upset about it.
I hate people that spoil things, but now I've actually just started spoiling things for myself, so I'll, like, Google the endings to series, and I always know who my favourite character is going to die. When I was a kid, before I read Harry Potter 6, and I'm sorry for no one that's not read this, but someone told me Dumbledore died, and you know what? Might as well have not read it. Yeah,
so, I mean, the revelation of even the smallest detail can be, you know, can ruin the viewing experience for some people. Like, I think it was, one of them mentioned that they didn't even watch the trailer for Star Wars.
Sometimes I don't watch trailers, often because I feel like trailers reveal too many things in terms of especially jokes that, you know, you hear them too many times and they're not funny when you watch the actual thing.
I think that's true.
Yeah, how do you decide, right? What is too much? Or what is a good teaser?
Or what is even a spoiler? Like, you know, it could be the outfit change, you know, it's new, you know, it's a new outfit. Yeah, a new outfit, a spoiler, is the episode title.
Yeah.
Could be even a pair of characters meeting.
The fact that, I think earlier we were talking about the fact that, was it in Game of Thrones, that the fact that Daenerys was wearing a particular outfit suggested that she was in a particular place.
Yeah.
So, oh, we now know that she's going to be there. But how do you avoid these details?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I guess some people, I mean, I know some people who will just avoid social media altogether or Instagram, but and some of these accounts get deleted. I know.
Because people report them?
Yes. Some people, some fans feel very strongly about their content.
Well, I'm one of those, like Lynn was saying earlier, who if I haven't watched Game of Thrones, which I am following now, mm-hmm. I furiously scroll past my feed because if I see any glimpse of anything, I'm so worried something's going to be spoiled.
Yeah, because you don't want that experience to be ruined for you. You want a whole, an hour or more just to enjoy the episode as it is, to experience it as it happens.
So what do our listeners think?
So on Twitter, we have Malaser, who said that people who agree to spoilers have no imagination and shouldn't be seeing movies at all. So this is in response. This is in response to our poll where we asked, you know, what were your thoughts on spoilers? Because 4% of you said, I give other people spoilers, or that I like spoilers. So Farkan Ishak said that just be decent and don't spoil the TV series or film, at least for the next month or so. After the hype dies down, they are on their own. And we have Fun Chi Ho, who said that director Mamat Khalid doesn't use scripts or lets his actors know their character arcs. He feeds actors one line, and how they take the line determines how he carves a character on the spot. So you'll get a few more lines than a few more, and it's pretty much an open mic directing. That's interesting.
That also sounds like the Avengers.
Yeah, that's true, actually. So, and on WhatsApp, we have Alvin Lam saying that he's currently avoiding all social media. As you know, I have not watched Game of Thrones episode 2, as I am waiting to watch it with my girlfriend. So for those who intentionally spoil it for others, I wish upon you 1,000 consecutive days of bad things.
Yes, very bad things, which we shan't say on air.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, as one of them said that, you know, we should wait like a month, like when it comes to a TV series or a film. I mean, there, I kind of disagree with that. I think for film, yes, because, I mean, not everybody is going to have access to the film. But when it comes to TV series, like for me, I love discussing what happened. I like breaking it down. I love to analyze it. And a lot of it takes place on social media.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine waiting like a month to discuss what happened in episode 2 of Game of Thrones, you know.
But isn't, sorry, Suan.
Yeah, I think like after a week, personally, I think a week is a good time frame for TV series because you get new episodes every week. So after the 1 week, you should be able to discuss more openly about what happened in the episode with other people, because different people will have different opinions, how they perceive what happened in the episode.
I think the challenge is not that you can't talk about it, right? Like if and previously, before social media became such a thing, you can have these conversations in closed circles and people who weren't interested could choose to step out. Yeah. The problem with social media, especially with public posts or, you know, posts that just appear on your feed, memes that give away plot points, is that you can't choose to avoid them.
That's true.
So you're kind of forced to... You're kind of forced to be in a space where it is spoiled for you, even if you didn't choose to be there. So I just recently found out, and I might actually use it, that Facebook has introduced a filter, right? Where you can actually filter out Game of Thrones memes if you're not interested in having them spoil the show for you.
Yeah, it's a good option, isn't
it? Yeah. It just reminds me of this experience I had when I was in Melbourne and the Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince had just come out. And this was actually the day after the book had come out, and you know, it was quite cool because I was in a train and almost everyone in the train was reading the book, you could see it, including myself. And I had two girls who were sitting and talking about it, and there was a woman who was sitting next to them, sort of in an adjacent seat, and they were talking about the book because they'd already finished it. And this woman actually turned and told them off. She told them off in a private conversation, "Don't talk about the ending, I haven't read it yet."
Wow.
Right? And I kind of thought, well, that's taking it a bit too far. People are allowed to talk about it in their own private conversations.
It is. I mean, just recently, actually just yesterday, I remember someone was talking about Game of Thrones. So that came out, what, Monday night? And someone just turned around and said, "Oh, I haven't watched it yet. You're spoiling it for me." But yeah, I think there should be a grace period, I think, out of decency, that you don't talk about it the hour after it comes out. Because I think some people are at work. They have a life outside of that. You know?
People do? What?
And yeah, I mean, I get it. I remember when it first came out, I was at work, and the second I went, like, I was doing research, And all these spoilers just started coming. People were already talking about it. And I was like, oh, great. Now, I mean, I know what happens. So I had to experience
that. But you said earlier that you used to actually look up spoilers.
Oh, yes, yes. For me, it was when I was younger, especially, I used to enjoy spoilers because I wanted to prepare myself for any character death. So not Game of Thrones necessarily.
Okay. Sort of like a trauma mitigation kind
yes.
of.
So like when I watched Hachiko, for example, I didn't want to just have to experience that so raw. Like, yeah. I do enjoy spoilers even today, but I avoided this most of the time now because I want to be able to see whether I could predict what was going to happen. Mm. And I don't want to just watch it. I'm like, oh, okay, man, but I already know. I can't tell if it's good, if the reveal is good, if I don't, you know, if I already know what's going to happen.
Are you particularly invested in the idea of not having things spoiled for you, Swan?
Definitely, definitely. I've been very good at avoiding any Avengers-related social media posts. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, Avengers fans have been quite good at not posting spoilers about the Avengers, the MCU, and just, or maybe what I've seen has been a trend is no contact spoilers.
Yes.
I'm not sure if both of you have seen that. It's just random photos or memes, which makes no sense.
Which makes
to
no
you
sense, yeah.
If you haven't seen it, but once you've seen it, it makes complete yeah. sense.
Yes.
The thing is, like sometimes though, when you talk about, like the Vox article was talking about the quality of the movie itself, you know, a movie shouldn't, the experience of a movie, if it only hinges on a twist or a spoiler, it seems to me like it's probably not a very good movie in the first yeah. place, right? So realistically speaking, in a larger picture sense, there's a lot more to the experience of watching a film or a show than knowing these little details. Mm-hmm. But we have kind of become sort of overly invested in them as well.
Yeah. yeah. And I think that because, I don't know, I'm just curious, do you think that because producers like pay so much attention to avoid spoilers that it's making people just that more, you know, tempted to know about it?
I think so. Sometimes I buy into the conspiracy that it's all a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
That a lot of these reveals and leaks and details, quote unquote, or, you know, slips that actors make on talk yeah. shows, that they're all planned just to, you know, elicit some kind of excitement. Mm.
Because it is, isn't it? When something's a secret, you deep down inside you want to know what that
yeah,
secret is.
Exactly. And then you're kind of a part of that elite group that knows something that someone else doesn't know.
Yeah.
yeah.
Sometimes I have my doubts as to whether these spoilers, this whole culture is not being fed by the Hollywood machine.
Yeah. yeah. I remember reading one of the articles that Sophie Turner, I think, had a slip or one of the Game of Thrones cast. So someone did point out that they are so well-trained. And if you watch their other interviews, they are very well-trained yeah. at how to address certain questions without revealing too much. Mm-hmm. So whenever a slip-up like that happens, you kind of wonder, was that intentional?
Right. So do we want to quickly check in on our Twitter poll?
Yes. So we asked you on social media, you know, what are your thoughts on TV shows or film spoilers? So 56% of you said that you avoid them at all costs, mm-hmm. followed by 36% of you who said, it doesn't matter to me. 5% of you said I like spoilers, followed by 3% who said that I give other people spoilers.
Well, you can continue to join the conversation at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also check us out on BFM The Bigger Picture. Oh, it looks like we've just had a comment come in.
Yeah, so Rusihan Anwar said that I don't have time, so I will piece together spoilers and decide whether to go watch it.
Hmm. Okay. That's an interesting approach. I guess it does filter out a lot of the less deserving
yeah,
movies or TV
true.
Shows. So if you did miss any part of the show, you can download our podcasts on bfm.my. You can also look us up on the BFM app, and we're on Spotify as well. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, we're revisiting an interview with Dr. Jenny Balfour-Paul, who has researched and written about indigo for over 20 years. We leave you now with The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret by Queens of the Stone Age, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.